Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Well, good morning, church. Good to see everybody. If you got a copy of the scriptures, I want you to go to Acts chapter 12. That's where we're going to be today, Acts chapter 12. If this is your first Sunday with us, let me say hi. My name's Brad. I'm the lead pastor. If for some reason I didn't get to say hi to you this morning, make sure you stop by the New Here banner after the service. Love to tell you more about CORE and just say hello. We got a free gift for you as well. And so today we are in a series that we are continuing during the Lent season called Formed in Christ. I hope you've been taking advantage of the Lent season. It is a season of fresh fire, fresh anointing, but you got to learn to wait on the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you've not ever fasted, this is a good season to do that. The Lent season is a season of fasting. You can join us every Friday. We have our Friday fast. And then also men are praying every Friday morning at 6:30, ladies at 9:30. And something significant, the guys who were there on Friday, it was a strange moment. We were praying like we always do. And then all of a sudden it just got silent. And it was like the Holy Spirit just walked into the room. Like a wind entered right into that front room in there. And like none of us could speak. Like, it was just that moment. I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment like that in your life where you know the Holy Spirit is present. You know he's right there, and you have no words. You just sit in it, and you wait. In fact, actually, what you want to do, you don't want that moment to go away. If you've never experienced that in your life, I want to invite you into the Lent season. I want to invite you to a season of prayer and fasting, because the more that you practice that, the more you will see the Spirit of God. Because here's what I believe about the Spirit of God. That's what I told the guys that morning. I believe the Spirit of God is hunting the earth. And he's hunting for people who are seeking after him. He's hunting for people who are hungry for him. And when he finds people that are hungry for him, he pours out his presence and his power upon those people. Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you hungry for the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because we want his presence here today, because we believe his power can transform lives. If you're new, you're not yet a follower of Jesus, welcome. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're exploring who Jesus is. This series we're in called Formed in Christ. What does it mean to be formed in Christ? I think it has a lot to do with our word for 2026. Our word for 2026 is the word consecration. Now, word consecration means this: to be set apart, dedicated, and fully devoted to God. That's what it really means to be formed into the image of Christ. Will you say that with me? Consecration: to be set apart, dedicated, and fully devoted to Christ. That's what it is. And so we've been looking at these eight character traits that form us into the image of Christ. Last week, Pastor Eric just killed it with talking about self-control and And the one thing he said that I keep hearing echoing through the halls is this: put away the sword. Put away the sword. And I want, if that message spoke to you, I want to challenge you to share that on your social media platforms, because there's somebody somewhere that needs that. And I can really speak to them. Let's get this. Let's not keep this to ourselves. Let's get this out to the world. So we've been using 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7 kind of as our base that we're talking from, where we find these eight character traits. And here they are. I want you to say this with me: supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love for everyone. So today I want to talk to you about patient endurance. I know this relates to no one in the room, so I hope you will stay with me. That was a joke. Stand if you will. We're going to read some scripture together. Acts chapter 12. If you're new to the scriptures, and you do not have a copy with you, we have free Bibles in the lobby. Take one. We've got a Lord's Prayer guide that'll help you start your time with Jesus. I see a lot of people on their phones. They're not on social media unless they're sharing the sermon. Amen. Yep, that's what we're doing. A lot of people are on the YouVersion app. That's a great app and a great place to begin your time with the Lord. So if you're new to the scriptures, the book of Acts is in the New Testament. It's written by a guy named Luke. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, but he was a follower of Jesus. And he talked to all the disciples and eyewitnesses, and he wrote down these different accounts of Jesus' life. And then in the book of Acts, he wrote down the accounts of the early church. So the book of Acts is all about how the church got started. And Peter was one of the apostles. He was the leader, the main guy kind of in the church. He had two other guys with him, James and John, who were both brothers. But James has been arrested. And then James, when he was in prison, they took his life in prison, which had to just absolutely rock the church and Peter. He's like, wait a second. Jesus said that the three of us were going to do this together, and we were going to change the world, and now James is dead, and now Peter finds himself in prison. It's like it's all falling apart. Anybody got a dream? Anybody got a prayer that you're praying for, that you're hoping for, and it feels like it's all falling apart? It's going backwards, not the way you thought it would go? Hey, welcome to the story of Acts chapter 12. This is where Peter is. He's in prison. Let's go to verse 6. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate, and suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. It's like in this moment the angel shows up and says, I know what happened to James, but Peter, now is not your time. I've got different plans for you. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him, and he said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists, and then the angel told him, get dressed, put on your sandals, and he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, and the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he doubted because he thought it was a vision. He's like, maybe I'm dreaming this. He didn't realize it was actually happening. This is what happens when you finally get your breakthrough. Anybody been there? Like you've been praying and praying and praying, and then breakthrough comes. You're like, yeah, no, something's going to go wrong. This is not really happening. There's no way. That's where we get the phrase, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, yeah. So they passed the first and second guard posts, came to the iron gate leading to the city. This opened for them all by itself. They passed through and they started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where there were many gathered for prayer, and he knocked on the door and he freaked them all out. Thus saith the Lord. Let's talk about patient endurance. Let's pray together. Father, we welcome your spirit into this place. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Church, let's pray together, man, for the people around you, in front of you, behind you, beside you, and just pray that the Spirit of God will speak to them, that he has a word for them. And then pray for me, as your pastor, that I'll be obedient to what Christ has for us today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. I don't like to wait. I don't think any of us like to wait. My anxiety particularly rises when I see a yellow light. You know what I mean? You get it, but you're about a quarter mile away. It's green. You know what's coming, right? You're like, oh, look at that. Yeah, yeah, you're just toying with me. You get about 100 yards from the light, and it's just like they're like, aha, gotcha. Turns to yellow. And of course, me being a responsible citizen, caring about the safety of others, I gun it. Where's my gun it, people? Where's my gun it? Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to Core Church. Let's change our name to Gun It Church. That's what we're going to. Yeah, guts ain't got nothing on us. So I know Pastor Bill. I love Pastor Bill, by the way. So the other thing I hate is when I'm turning left and the person in front of you, you know, has got the like the blinking yield light, you know, you can turn left, but they don't. But they don't. Like the nearest car is like in Bixby, and they're not turning. You're like, make the turn, and they're just like. And about the time it turns red, that's when they decide to do it. Meanwhile, the seven of us say, we'll just wait, we're good. I mean, I have gotten so spoiled when it comes to waiting because I can't even wait on AI. This is just sad. Like, if you ever use like ChatGPT or something like that, especially ChatGPT, when you ask it a question, it's so amazing. Like less than 5 seconds, you got your answer. I've gotten so spoiled in just the last year of using it that if it gives me that little blinking dot and it's like searching the web, I'm like, come on, they got all day. So a couple of weeks ago, I know nobody struggles with this place. I know a lot of you like going to this place, but I don't. So a couple of weeks ago, I had to go to urgent care. Yeah. So I tried to pick my timing, you know, like when no one would be there. Does that ever work? It's like everybody's doing the same thing, and we all pick the time that we think nobody's going to pick. I walk in, and it's like there's people everywhere, and I'm not making this up. There was a lady. She still had her PJ pants on, her house shoes, and she had the kitchen trash can that she had her head buried in. And it was like, this is going to be a while. But what I like, though, is then they call your name. Brad Farnsworth, you're like, oh, all right. And then they usher you back to the room, right? And then they get you in the room. And what does the attendant say?
The doctor will be with you in just a minute.
Is the doctor going to be there in just a minute? It's like the scriptures say, a day to us is like 1,000 to God. You ever been sitting there and you're like, are they coming? And then you're listening and you ever hear the little slap of the sign outside and you hear it clap across the wall and you're like, oh, they're here. And you're waiting for them to open up the door, but they never do. You stick your head out and you're like, did the rapture happen? What's going on here? I think what they need to call it is when we get around to you care. That's what they really need to change it to. There's no such thing as urgent care. None of us like to wait. None of us. But there are some things that are especially hard and difficult to wait on, like unanswered prayer. Like you're praying and you're believing that God is going to bring you that certain someone, that special someone that you can share your life with, and you're not going to be alone. Everybody tells you you're not. You're going to find him. God's going to do it. And God's not doing it. And you think you found the right person and this is it, but then they ghost you? How about some of you are waiting on answers for your health. Many are waiting for answers on your health for you or for maybe a family member. And they have the medication. Try this. This is the medication you need to try. This is going to bring the breakthrough. And you try the medication and it does nothing. Maybe for you, it's just that your world is just all turned upside down. There's just so much chaos and anarchy and frustration and disappointment. And you're just so stressed and so overwhelmed. You're just begging God just for any kind of peace. God, just let the chaos stop.
Anything is going, just bring peace. Some of you are waiting on a breakthrough. Man, you're waiting on that promotion or that new opportunity, and you just keep getting passed by. And you're wondering, how long am I going to have to wait? You got a dream? Anybody got a dream? Like, this is what I want to do. I believe that this is God-given. But you can't seem to get any traction. There's no resources, and nobody seems interested. Maybe it's an addiction. That you prayed, and you feel like you conquered it, but then you pick up the fork again, and you can't put it down. Or you pick up the phone, and you go to that website, and you can't put it down. What if scars told a story? What if scars told a story of God's faithfulness? Here's where I want to go for the next few minutes, and I would like for you to write this down if you want to take some notes this morning. My scars can tell a story. My scars can tell a story. It can tell a story of God's faithfulness. Will you say that with me? My scars can tell a story of God's faithfulness. So how do you patiently endure through all of that, through all of the mess, all the heartache, all the brokenness, all the struggle, all the difficulties? How do you process and work through all of that? And here's a question I've got for you, preacher. How do you know when to keep enduring and when to walk away and let it go? Here's Peter. This has got to be the questions Peter's wrestling with. He's in prison. But I want to take you to one of his letters first. So later in life, Peter wrote a letter to the church. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, I think he might quite possibly, it doesn't tell us this, but I wonder if he's not looking back at his own time of struggle and waiting on the Lord and is maybe that moment when he was in prison. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, he says this, don't be surprised. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the what? Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, like Peter being in prison, as if it's something strange that were happening to you. Peter says, don't be surprised, but let's be honest, most of the time we're shocked and surprised. We're like, what? What is happening to me? It's like bringing a baby home from the hospital for the very first time, and you're like, I didn't expect this. They cry, and they cry, and they cry, and then they boom, boom, they cry, and then they boom, boom. They cry and they boom, boom. Does this ever stop? No, it does not for 18 years. It does not stop. Cry, boom, boom, cry, boom, boom. On and on it goes. But Scripture is filled with people who struggled and who suffered, yet they patiently endured. One of them is this guy named Joshua. Some of you know his story from the Old Testament. God had set the nation of Israel free from slavery in Egypt, and he gave them the promised land, and Moses was leading them to that promised land, but God said, Moses, you're not actually going to enter that land, and Joshua is. So Moses goes to Joshua and says, you're going to be the guy, man. You're the one. The anointing of God is on you, and you're going to lead the people into that land, and so he sends Joshua into the land early, and he says, I want you to go scout it out. I want you to see what it's like, how we can approach the enemy there, and what it's just what's there, the resources, and come back and tell me about it. Joshua comes back, and he's like, you're not going to believe it, Moses. This place is like, wow, it is like next level. I mean, everything there, it is everything the Lord said it was. I cannot wait. But if you know the story, the nation of Israel, they turned on Joshua and Moses, and they said, we heard that there's some pretty bad people in that land that could take our heads off. We ain't going. And they doubted God, and because they doubted God, they never entered into their promise. Oh, that will preach right there. Listen, you can't let doubt find its way into your soul. If you want to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life, you can't let doubt take root in you. Because here's what happens. When doubt takes root, you begin to believe what's in you. You begin to think about it. You begin to contemplate on it. Then you begin to talk like that. And then you begin to act on it. And then you end up far from your promise, which is exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. God said, that generation, because you doubted, because you cursed me and you didn't want to enter that land, you're not going to enter that land. And Joshua's like, whew, okay, but I'm ready to go. And God's like, I'm sorry, no. And now, Joshua's like, well, I didn't doubt. I believed. Guys, I know. But you're going to have to wait too. And the scripture says that, think about how long you've been waiting for a breakthrough. Joshua had to wait 40 years for his breakthrough. 40 years. I can't even wait 4 hours. He had to wait 40 years. So Peter, in this letter that he writes to the church much later in life, he says, instead of pushing back, he says, what if you leaned in and you had a different attitude? Look back at 1 Peter 4:13. He says this, instead, say it with me, be very glad. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, turn that frown upside down. Turn that frown upside down. Yeah, some of you got a really disappointing resting face. I'm just saying, as a pastor, I need your resting face today. I need something to work with here today. I need to know you're with me. Are you with me? Okay, we're going to keep working on it. We're going to keep working on it. I'm sorry. I believe, did Peter just say, be glad? Be glad for what? I mean, that is hard to understand because we all have scars, right? And scars are a reminder. Man, this is, it's a reminder of hardship, of struggle, of disappointment, of loss. I was working in my garden a couple of weeks ago and I was cutting back the roses and a thorn caught me right here. And it buried itself and it broke off in the skin. And in that moment, when I looked at that, I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the infection that's coming. Hallelujah. I praise you for the urgent care visit that is headed my way. No. No, I did not thank God in that moment. I wanted it out. That's what we want. We want out. And Peter, what he's not saying here is celebrate the pain. He's not saying celebrate the pain. He's saying celebrate the one who is with you in the pain. The Greek word that they use here for this idea of being very glad is very similar to the word that we have for grace. And so the idea here that what Peter's talking about, he's saying this, delight in God's grace. Would you encourage somebody around you and tell them you can delight in God's grace? You can delight in God's grace. Scars can tell the story of God's faithfulness. We've all got scars. I mean, this one right here. Yeah, that's where my dad walked out the door when I was 7 years old and I never saw him again. But let me tell you what God did. This scar here. Yeah, that was my divorce. Whew. Never saw that coming. She walks in and she says, I don't love you anymore. Whew. But let me tell you what God did through that time in my life and where he's taken me to today. This scar here. And this one. On this one right here. Those are my 3 miscarriages. Yeah, begging God. But let me tell you what God did. Like, let me introduce you to my 4-year-old son. My 4-year-old adopted son. Oh, he's got scars, and I've got scars. But together, they tell the story of God's faithfulness. If you believe that, would you give God some praise right now? Would you? He turns the scars into something beautiful in our lives. This is the story of Lent, is it not? Jesus had scars. And they tell a story. He had scars in his hands and in his wrists and in his feet. And they tell the story of suffering. But they also tell the story of what? Resurrection, new life, redemption. And I love right after his resurrection in John 20:20, it says this: Jesus showed them, the disciples, the wounds in his hands and in his side. Jesus didn't hide his scars. He didn't hide them. No. He showed them because they told the story of redemption, of righteousness, of restoration and resurrection. What if we began to show our scars and tell the story of God's faithfulness? I want you to think about those Easter cards. You guys got those. I know you're filling them out right now, and you're putting names down on this. I've got names that I'm going to be putting on my card, and here at the end of the service, I'm going to be bringing my card. I want you to look at that card and those names, because guess what? These people have got scars. They've had suffering. They've had hardship. They've had struggles, and they're trapped in a prison. No way out. Guilt, shame, and rejection. And your story and your scars and my story and my scars could be the very thing that unlocks the prison doors and sets the captives free. If you believe that, give God some praise. That's what God wants to do through your scars, through your story, a story of his faithfulness. Let's go back to the Acts chapter 12 and the story here. Peter, again, he's been arrested. He's in prison. He's chained. And in verse 7, it says this: suddenly. Come on, we serve the God of suddenly. Man, suddenly everything can change. Heartbreak suddenly changes. Pain suddenly changes. Loss suddenly changes. And God does something miraculous and brings about a resurrection. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and say this with me, an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. Man, there is nothing sweeter than when God steps into the darkest moment of your life. When you can't find your way, when you're like, I don't know how to navigate this anymore. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And God steps into the middle of that. Have you ever had his sweet presence like I talked about a few minutes ago? Where he lights up the darkness around you? It's like what David said in Psalm chapter 23 and in verse, I think it's verse 5. He said, you prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies. It's like I'm surrounded by darkness. I'm surrounded by the enemy who's seeking to kill, to steal, and to destroy me. But right in the middle of my mess, God has put a feast and a table, and I can eat his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love in my life. This is the promise. This is what God wants to do for all of us. Like, think about this for Peter. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in this moment. He's still in prison. He's still got the chains. There's still the guards. But everything changed. I think it's like when the spring rain comes and it hits the hardened soil after a long, brutal winter. And that rain just soaks down through the soil and it hits that seed, and then suddenly something beautiful can spring forth. This is our God. This is what he can do. Everything can change. You got to hold on because spring is coming. We see it with our own eyes right now, don't we? Spring is coming. Guess what's coming tomorrow? Is that not true for you? Woo! Got my my breakthrough. Bam. Setback. Man, but no, I've heard this preached before. Setbacks are just set ups for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Listen, devil, you can't kill my garden and you can't kill my dreams. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them spring is coming. Spring is coming. Come on. Now turn to the person you didn't choose and tell them spring is coming. Spring is coming. But how do you know when you should patiently endure and keep pressing forward or let it go and walk away? I think Peter must ask the same thing in that prison cell. Because remember, his best friend James was in the same situation, and he didn't get out. Comparison kills, by the way. Comparison kills. Somebody say that with me. Comparison kills. Do not compare yourself to someone else's situation. There's always somebody that's worse off. There's always somebody that's better off than you. God doesn't want you getting in the comparison game. I would submit to you that James got the better end of the deal. We always look at this, and nobody wants to preach James. I'd preach James all day long. I love James, man. James in this moment, he lost his life, and he was ushered immediately into the presence of Jesus, where we want to be someday. Amen? Amen. Who got the better end of the deal? James going to heaven, hanging out with Jesus, or Peter still in a broken world, dealing with heartache and suffering and loss in his life? And by the way, the end came for Peter at one point as well. He too lost his life. When God is done with you, he's done with you. And when God's not done with you, he's not done with you. Don't compare yourself to someone else's story. So Peter, he's really filled with doubt in this moment. He thinks, I don't know, is it a dream, is it a vision? I don't know what it is, but okay, I'll follow this angel. Okay, here we go, you know. Come on, you've done that, right? You're like, okay, I'll make the phone call. Right? I mean, we all do that, you know. Okay, I'll check on that. I'll do the next job interview. I'll go in for this. Yeah, I'll do the next test. I'll play your little game. This is Peter. That's what he's doing. Doubts are going to come. Come on, tell somebody around you. Tell them, doubts are going to come. Doubts are going to come. They're going to come. But when they do, I want to challenge you to do this. Listen for the voice of God. Just get your ears in tune with God and do what he tells you to do. Jesus said this in John 10:27. He said, my sheep what? Listen to my voice. They listen to my voice. I know them, they know me, and they follow me. I live with three women. I love that. I love saying that every time. It's a great joke. I love it. Some of you are new right now and you're like, what? Only one is my wife. That doesn't make it any better. I know. So you're like, and? Oh, man, that joke never gets old. So if you're new, I have a beautiful wife, only one wife. The other two ladies are Laura's mom and Aunt Mary that live with us. Two amazing. Yeah, you can give them some love. So sometimes I'm home by myself and I'm upstairs and I'll hear one of them come home. And when they come home, I know them just by the sound of their just by their presence. I just know them. Like if I hear the door open and I hear bags rustling about, I know, oh, that's Aunt Mary. She loves to shop. I mean, she's got a shopping anointing is what we say in the house. And what's crazy is when she goes shopping, she'll come in with like 10 bags, put them on the counter. 9 of them are for someone else because she's just that generous. I've never known anybody more generous than her. Nothing is for her. I come in with 10 bags, 9 are for me. And this is just how it is, right? Then I'll hear the door open and then I'll hear it kind of quietly shut. Then I hear the pitter patter of feet across the floor. And I know that's either Laura's mom or the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. Because I get them confused all the time. And then Laura comes home. She announces her presence. It's like she kicks the door in. Bam! So I said, boom! And all I'm hearing is, I hear her iPhone just blaring Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know? Do you remember? You know, I'm like, wow, she's home. I know them without them even saying a word. How is that even possible? Because I've known these ladies for over 40 years. They've been so involved in my life. I know everything. They know me and I know them. If you want to know the voice of God, you got to spend time with God. You got to get alone with God. You've got to spend so much time with God that you recognize him simply by his presence. There he is. It's like when the men were gathered for prayer, we're like, oh, you didn't have to tell a single man in that room. We all knew, woo-hoo, that's the Holy Spirit. So let's look at again back verse 7. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him. That's how Laura wakes me up when I snore. Yes. Bam! Like that. I don't get that, by the way. Men, whenever your wife is making noise at night, what do? Go, hey, honey, hey, hey, hey. If it's the other way around, you ladies, you're just like, hey! You're like, you hit us. You physically assault us in our sleep. That's a sermon for another day, okay? So the angel struck him on the side to awaken him. He said what? Quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. And Peter follows him, follows this angel. He goes past the first guard post, then past the second guard post, comes to the gate. The gate opens and suddenly freedom. There is nothing that our God can't do. Listen, there ain't no chains that can hold him and there ain't no gate that can keep him. Our God is a God of freedom. And what I believe today is that for some of you, you're like Peter and God is nudging you today. And he's telling you, wake up, get up. Come on, tell somebody next to you, wake up, get up. You got to wake up. You got to get up. I know for some of you, like, how many more steps, Brad? How many more steps? Because I'm exhausted. I'm worn out. You don't know my situation. And you're right. I don't know your situation and you don't know mine. I've had so much disappointment, so much rejection, so much loss. How much longer is this going to go on for me? For Peter, freedom did not come in an instant. You look at the story, it came step by step. What does that mean? It means you take a step and you stand and you wait on the Lord. And then you take a step and you stand on the authority of who Christ is and who I am in Christ Jesus. You wait. And then you take a step and you stand and you say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. He will fulfill his promises for me. This is my God. And you wait and you keep stepping and you keep stepping and you keep stepping until your scars tell the story of God's faithfulness. Amen. Come on, give God some praise for his faithfulness. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.